like to call the pastors forward, Pastor Lois, Pastor Tom and Ron. And we'd also like to have Babs and Shiloh come up, please. And those of you that I talked to have something to say briefly this morning. And as they're coming up, as you all know, October was the month that's been officially deemed as Pastor Appreciation Month. And we had to wait until today because of everyone's schedules. But we're just going to take a few minutes. We're just going to take a few minutes to honor our pastors. If y'all would... Yeah, Ron and Babs. Yeah. We're just going to take a few minutes to honor our pastors this morning. We want you to know, pastors, this is not an obligatory thing. We are not just doing this because Hallmark and Focus on the Family deemed this as Pastor Appreciation Month. We are doing this because your church family believes that you are the cream of the crop. Yay! And to Babs and Shiloh, we have asked you to come up here this morning because even though we know you're not pastors, we know that you are the wind beneath the wings of your husbands and that they would not be who they are today without your love and support. So we want to honor you, Babs and Shiloh, as well. So each of these ones here is going to take 30 seconds or less to share something with each of you. They have signed on the dotted line, 30 seconds or less, Pastor Perry.
I get to bless my friend, Pastor Lois. Pastor Lois is a person who unashamedly loves and fervently pursues Jesus. She is a compassionate cheerleader who sees the potential in others and believes for that potential to become a reality. She never gives up. Thank you for believing in us.
Yes. Pastor Ron, really, there are only three names. There's Billy Graham, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and Pastor Ron Wilson. Really. Seriously, Pastor Ron, as the pastor of connections and things, if you've never connected with Ron Wilson, you need to make a time, do that. But when you're doing that, you'll probably be at Starbucks. And while you're doing that, he will stop the conversation you're having, which is completely okay, and start connecting with strangers. I saw this just the other morning. A guy from Delaware, didn't know him from Adam, I guess. And next thing we know, they're talking about connections for a church plant thing in Delaware and everything else. And this guy might become part of it. And it's just, that's who he is. That's what he does. He is in the job that he should be in. And thank you for your obedience in that.
All right, I'm going to ask you to do something as I read off traits of my dear friend, brother, mentor, Pastor Perry Payne. As I read off these traits or characteristics of him, will you raise your hand if something I say in some way impacts you? Okay, is that you with me? All right, friend, comforter, and I think Deb and I are probably the two most emotional people in the crowd here today, so I'll probably cry as well. Encourager. A shepherd who cares deeply for people. A pastor. A leader. Reflector. Reflector of Jesus. Passion for family. His first. But then ours. Genuinely concerned for us. Model for healthy marriage. Thank you. Visionary, man, he's like just oozing with vision. Passion to see young people seek Jesus. This is a big one. Passion to see young people seek Jesus. Loves kids. like his heart throbs for children. Youthful. Okay, here's one. Prank artist. Bingo. Fun to be with. Always giving of himself. Wants to see us succeed. Heart for the lost. Speaker of life. Bold. Knows just what to say and how to act in difficult situations. Nurturing husband. Loving father. Here we go. Entrepreneur. Boom. Man of the word. God chaser. All right. Hands in the air if one of those things affected you. Pastor Perry, just take a look. I'm big on like the visuals. You have impacted thousands of lives. These people spread out exponentially. Thank you.
Pastor Tom, I just wanted to thank you for all you do for the youth and all the time you invest in us, even though we all can be kind of difficult sometimes and you never give up on us. And we just want to thank you for all you do for us.
So as a tangible sign of your church family's love and affection, we have a little something for each of you. So let's all rise to our feet and say, yay, pastors! Yay!
Thank you all very much, and I know, speaking for all the ones up here, it's a great privilege and honor to get to be a part of you. Even if we weren't in this position, it's a great honor to be a part of you and be a part of this church family. Well, we're going to hear from Pastor Tom Stimson now. He's going to come share some announcements with us, and we're blessed by him.
Good morning. It's still morning. Hey, we were singing that song, and I really appreciate, Ryan, when you were leading us, because you made me stop and think more about what it means when we say that Jesus rose and conquered the grave. And just this morning, I was reading in Romans chapter 8, where it talks about, and because of him who loved us, that therefore we are more than conquerors, because of Christ who loves us. So I just wanted to start out and say how thankful that I am that we are for what Christ did on the cross. Amen? But the reality is this, that because of what Christ did on the cross, he didn't just save us from sin and death, but he lives in us and he walks with us. And everywhere we go, we are more than conquerors because he fights the battles for us everywhere we go. And we all have battles. And just remember that everywhere you go, Christ is walking with you, fighting the battles for you because he conquers everything. So I just was thinking about that, and I'm thankful for that. And I hope that everyone who has come here today experiences that reality of God. That when you move forward, that you find that God fights the battles for you, when you rest in him and you lean in him. So if you've come here today, I hope you experience that, because that's our mission at this church, that you would experience the realness of God every day. And we also pray that you would grow with us in faith, in relationships with one another, in knowledge, and in the spiritual gifts. We pray that you would grow. And also we pray that you would go into the world and be light and be salt. That's what this place is all about. Experiencing the realness of God, come together, grow together, and go into all the world. That's what we're about. There are these little booklets on the edge of the row, and if you would take this up, and whoever has it, just hold it up high so we know that everyone has one. These are our little care sheets, connecting books. We ask that everyone would have a moment to fill it out. If you've already been here before and you've already given us all your information, just put your name there. The most important part of this is that we know who you are, and that you have any comments or prayer requests, especially if you're a guest with us this morning. Would you please take time and just fill this out? Let us know who you are and that you're here. And also, anyone who's a guest, right outside in the foyer after our worship, please stop by the welcome desk because we have a gift for you. We don't want you to go without getting a free gift. It's awesome for us to be able to give you things. And so welcome. I just say welcome. These little folders, the worship bulletin you have, has lots of great things in it that'll help you connect here. We don't want you to just be a face here. We want you to be a part of what we're doing here. So I'm just going to highlight a couple of the announcements that are really important right now for this season and for this time. And the first one, I see you back there, is the men's outreach breakfast. Aside from lunch and dinner, they say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Starting on December 13th, if I'm not mistaken, is that 2 weeks away? 3 weeks. It's three Saturdays away, 3 weeks. The 13th is the first men's breakfast. If you're anyone who's a freshman in high school all the way up to the oldest man in the room, Jeremy Davis is excited to host you, and you're going to have a time to just meet each other, to share fellowship, to be coached, to be mentored, to just have relationships where you can walk together and get to know each other and grow together. It's part of our mission, right? Kingdom Advancement School of Ministry is starting up on January 18th. This is a really exciting thing for our church, for our campus here. You can read about that. This is a year-long school kind of devoted to training and equipping people to live supernatural lifestyles, that everywhere they'd go, the presence of the Lord would go with them. And it would be real to the people that they meet, right? That's what we're about, right? So this is something that you should be a part of. If that sounds like you and you have a desire that everywhere you go, that it would be evident that Christ lives in you and you'd be living in a supernatural reality, that others would see God and come to encounter the living God, this is the school for you. If you know anybody that would be interested in this, please don't pass up the chance to tell them about this. This is a pretty big deal. Kingdom Advancement School of Ministry. Operation Christmas Child is wrapping up tomorrow at 11 a.m. I saw how many boxes were back there, and if you had a chance to go to the Family Life Center in the gymnasium, you saw big brown box after big brown box. I don't know what the total numbers are, but there are hundreds, maybe thousands of these boxes that are going to go across the world. I know that Core Youth tonight, we're going to pray over those boxes that are in the gym, and you have a last chance. If you're just remembering, you're going, oh, shucks, I forgot about that. Tomorrow morning at 11 is the last chance to bring a shoebox, and there are still a few pamphlets in the back that give you all the information you need, okay? So if you were wanting to do that and change the life of a young person somewhere in the world, take advantage of that. Last chance is 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. And lastly, I'm excited to introduce to you Sarah Powell. She's going to tell you a little bit more about the winter clothing giveaway. It's coming up on December 14th. And I just want you to know I'm going home this week. I'm taking a couple of days off of work before Thanksgiving, and I'm going through all my clothes. I'm going to look for all the stuff that I haven't worn in like a year, and I'm going to bring it here. That's my promise. So, thank you.
I was wondering why he was telling me that. I'm like, I'm not your boss. You don't have to tell me what you're doing. Or your wife. I couple weeks ago, I keep looking at my closet, which is horrific. It's like the size of my bathroom, which is also horrific. But I kept, like, I have all these old clothes thrown in there, and I keep pulling them out, and I'm like, I'm sure I'll lose weight, and I'll fit back into that incy-binty outfit. And then I throw back in, and then I go back, like, the next season, and I'm like, oh, I'm still not that small, like, I'm 12. So I realize I could sell those clothes on some Morrow's Market, Galleon, whatever. And I'm like, well, I paid $7.97 plus tax for this. So, like, maybe I should sell it for, like, $3.97 plus tax. And then I'm like, that's just stupid. I mean, it's not stupid. If you do that, great. I'm not patient enough. Oops, we just talked about patience in Sunday school. Ah, shoot. Shucks. I'm not the kind of person that wants to, like, price things and put them online and wait for a response and meet people. Who has time for that? So I was like, forget it. Let's just do something else. So I told Pastor Perry my random idea of everybody just bringing their stuff, literally bring it here or, well, I guess, here. I'll have to handle that. So anyway, the point of this is I had this idea to, like, our church is about outreach. That is what we do. That is what we're passionate about. So if we all just bring these random things, I mean, it doesn't have to be winter clothes. Like, I'm sure we have tank tops. We have, I mean, all kinds of things. Like, who cares what it is? Let's just bring it. And then we will give it to the community and the people that need it. Because I've been broker than I am right now, that is for sure. And when people gave me a gift card or a shirt or a pair of boots, I was like, yahoo! Like, that stuff matters. So, yes, I said yahoo. So I was, you know, Pastor Perry and I were discussing maybe not having it here for the sake of the ones that need it might not have transportation to get here. So we're going to work on a location that might be a little bit better for the community rather than here. So we will get the location. But the point is, if you have at least one outfit in your closet, or at your house that you don't think you're ever going to wear again, raise your hand. Hello. If you have two. No, I'm just kidding. Can I get four? Can I get seven? I'm just kidding. The point is, we all have at least one shirt, one pair of shoes. They don't. I mean, as long as they're not like ridiculously disgusting. If people need it, they don't. They're not looking for pizzazz, but they do want something that they're not going to be embarrassed to wear. So, please bring that stuff. This is quick. I mean, we're going to try to do this December 14th, sometime in the afternoon. Not immediately after church, but a couple hours after. So, one, I'm sorry I'm taking so long. If you have stuff, please bring it here. Please, where should they put it? There will be a place in the foyer, says the boss. So please bring it. We will make sure it gets to where it's going. We'll make sure it gets taken care of. The other thing is, although I would love to think I can do everything all by myself, I cannot. So if anybody's interested in helping to organize this with me, helping to volunteer that day to give the stuff out, please do. Please let me know. Let Pastor Perry know that you're interested. We definitely need more hands to assist in this, okay? Don't forget your clothes.
Of course, you know, it depends on who you ask whether that outfit's ever going to be worn again. So,
I'm just taking this from him. Since we did this little pastor thank you thing, I want to tell you a little story real quick about Pastor Perry. So you know who he is if you don't know who he is. Yesterday we were coming back from Amish country because we had the elders retreat there. And it was awesome. So we needed gas. So we pulled into this gas station. I'm driving because I am the driver. I mean, he drives too, but I mean, it is like a passion of mine. So I was driving, and he was going to be sleeping. Yes. And I'm at the gas station, and he fills up the, you know, I can tell he's out there. He's filling it up, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to the game, of course. I mean, the game. So I'm thinking, where is he? So I look in the rearview mirror, and he's not back there. I'm looking over the side mirror. He's not over here. Now I'm looking around the gas station parking area, and all the, I don't see him anywhere. I look in the building, and there is this lady who is, I don't know, 70-something, and he's standing with her holding a car oil bottle because he's going to go out and fill up her oil in her car for her. I don't know who this is. He doesn't know who she is. This is who your pastor is. This is the real Perry Pate. So I don't know what you think when he's up here. And I would love to have Tom lay hands on him about this clothing thing.
Tom needs... So we'll find somebody to do lay hands on us. Well... if you didn't catch the sign, we did release children back to Children's Church, if you didn't catch the sign, I'm going to switch to the lapel, if I could there, guys.
As Pastor Lois shared, we had a great time with our elders Friday, Saturday, and yesterday we spent several hours just talking about our church and God's heart and plan for our church, and just wanted to ask for your continued prayer. Because we believe God wants to expand just our heart as a church and strategies for reaching the unchurched. You know, I was reading a statistic the other day. They said over 60% of people in the United States believe that the church in the United States is irrelevant. And 40% of the people in the United States have determined they will never step foot on church property. That's just their attitude. So God, you know, that means we got to get off the church property, go out there and take God to them, and because God is still real, and he loves them just as he loved us when we didn't want to step foot on church property and want anything to do with it. But so just pray about that. We prayed about, you know, we ask and ask for just, you know, we don't want to just be Christians, because I believe that we're called more what maybe the world would define as Christians. We believe that our part, or let's say just a church out here on Richland Road, we believe we're supposed to be transforming this region for God and for this kingdom. So just what that looks like and desiring to build a multi-generational church of all ages, and everyone feels, as we talked about family, that everyone is a part, elevating prayer in the church, and just several areas, being good stewards of all God's given us. So just ask you to be praying about that, and as we get clarity and feel that this is it, then we will share those things with you. As you know, we have been talking about forgiveness. We got this week and next week is our last 2 weeks. We're going to share about this and this season. But why is forgiveness so important? Well, you know, I get the privilege, opportunity to get to talk to a lot of people. And you know what the number one, typically biggest issue is? It's forgiveness. If you go out in life and talk to people, forgiveness is such an issue. And that's why it's so important. It's not one of those things that, yeah, I remember we spent the month of November talking about that, so I got it. You know, what you have, and this is something that Christians have to be careful of, that you think just because you heard it or just because you read it that you got it and that you're living it. Because that doesn't, all that means is you've attained knowledge. Now the goal is to get this from here to here and start living it. And really, I'll just give you a secret. In that, the only way that's going to happen is through Christ living in you. Trying to do that on your own, you might have images of it, but I tell you, it's so much easier, Christ in us living that. You know, and I know this season we start thinking about, gifts and Christmas and Thanksgiving. And, you know, one of the greatest gifts that you can give yourself and give to others is forgiveness. It's a gift that changes, you know. People, clothes wear out, you know, things get old and break, but forgiveness, it goes on for generations, and it can heal generations. You know, I'm sure several of you know of situations in families where unforgiveness has just splintered the family. And so just that whole thing of forgiveness and giving that. I want to share, these are some thoughts that ones have shared out in some, you know, Christianism and history about forgiveness. The first one is, forgiveness always seems so easy when we need it and so hard when we need to give it. Anger makes you smaller while forgiveness forces you to grow beyond what you were. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Who said that was Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom, if you don't know, was in the Holocaust in a prison camp with the Germans and saw her sister die by the hands of the Germans. And yet she learned what forgiveness was. So it's not a matter of your emotions. It's an act of your will. I have always found that mercy bears richer fruits than strict justice. That was Abraham Lincoln who shared that one. We are not bound to trust an enemy. Well, we are bound to forgive him. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. And the last one here is, forgiveness appears weak, but leaves us feeling stronger and less vulnerable to others. So the whole thing of forgiveness, when we're looking at, there's just such a sense, a misconception of out, you know, the world could be in here, of what is forgiveness? What does it mean? What does it actually mean when we're going to forgive somebody? And I want to share just, they're not going to be up there, I want to share just some thoughts of what forgiveness doesn't mean. Forgiveness doesn't mean you are agreeing or excusing the other person's actions. That doesn't mean when you forgive that it's like you're saying it's okay, because it probably wasn't okay. What happened? Forgiveness is not forgetting or pretending it didn't happen. It did happen, and we need to learn from it, but it did happen. Forgiveness doesn't mean you need to tell the other person that he or she is forgiven. There are times when that just is not something you need to do. You have to discern between you and God, but don't feel like every single time that somebody does something, because, you know, the reality sometimes is just you. The person may have not really, just because you don't like something or you didn't, you know, so just don't go up and say, I forgive you for you wearing that outfit that I wore, or I forgive you for, you know, looking at me the way you did, and oh, It's amazing out there. Forgiveness doesn't mean you shouldn't have any more feelings about the situation, that you'll never feel anything again about that. Forgiveness doesn't mean there's nothing further to work out in the relationship or that everything's okay. What it is if you've released it and there's a foundation, but there's still learning to build healthy interactions with one another. Forgiveness doesn't mean, forgiveness is not giving permission to continue hurtful behaviors. So if you're in a situation and people are just constantly, forgiveness doesn't mean, well, it's okay. You can keep acting like this, you know, and treating me like this. Forgiveness, and again, depends on the situation, doesn't mean you have to continue to include that person in your life. Sometimes it's best to separate there or bring some space. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Those are two different things. Reconciliation actually means to be friends and to build a friendship. You have to decide what that relationship is supposed to be. And last of all, forgiveness isn't something you do for the other person. It's you. It's ourselves. And you know, last week, again, we shared this verse, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. And the importance, remember, it's in Christ. We cannot do it. And the more we have that understanding and we pull upon him, because there's things I just can't do. But I say, God, in Christ, really what it is Christ's forgiveness. You're allowing Christ's forgiveness to flow through you. You're saying, God, I'm going to set aside my hurt and pain and allow Christ's forgiveness to come through me. Now, I want to share, these are some steps of how to do that. How to release and move from that hurt and pain to a place of forgiveness. One thing is understanding that forgiveness, it's separating and understanding the difference between forgivable people and unforgivable actions. So just because we're forgiving the person doesn't mean that the action was okay. So it's bringing a separation. So part is understanding that, you know, and like we said, it's making sure we realize that we're not condoning the action. Forgiveness, part of stepping into forgiveness means you're taking back control and responsibility for your own feelings. Because when you are walking on forgiveness, you've given control to that other person. And you're taking back that control and saying, I'm responsible for how I feel, and I'm responsible for the control of my feelings, and I'm not going to allow this person to control me and to control that. Even if they're not around you, they can control you. Because if you're walking in that unforgiveness. The third one, which gets a little bit touchy, is that when we really, if you put it into the formula of the scriptures, unforgiveness is sin. Now, we don't want to use that word. So we're just saying unforgiveness is wrong. It's a wrong thing to do, and God doesn't like it. But there is a word in the Bible that there's another word for that. It's called sin. But you know what? Even knowing that something's wrong and sinful doesn't make it any easier to stop. I don't know if you guys have experienced that, but, you know, just like, well, yeah, I know it's sin, but I'm still dealing with this and struggling with this. And the biggest thing with this, of the key to unforgiveness, is faith. Because when we're walking in faith, what I'm saying, when I forgive somebody, I trust you, God. That's how you're turning that key. Because what you're doing is you're letting go. And you're saying, God, I'm trusting you with my feelings. I'm trusting you with the future. I'm trusting you that even though this happened and this is negative, I'm not going to trust it and base my foundation of life on it. I'm trusting you. And when you unlock that, it's actually unlocking a lock on your life, and you're setting yourself free. That's really, but it's by faith. It has to be by faith that we're doing that you turn that key and saying, God, I trust you. with my future. I trust you with what was wrong here that somehow you're going to make everything okay. That I'm still going to have life. I'm still going to be fulfill your purpose, whatever it is. And so part of that is a big part of forgiveness is faith and trust. Faith is basically trusting God, that he's taking care of it. You know, forgiveness, choosing forgiveness is not like when you go to Wendy's, choosing whether you want fries or a salad with your Baconator sandwich. I mean, it's a little bit more impactful there. What kind of coffee you want at Starbucks or Tim Hortons, or what kind of cereal you're going to eat. You know, it has more effect, even though I'm sure there's some nutritionists out there would tell you what all those things do in your life, even if they taste good. But it has all kinds of effect on us when we allow forgiveness. And, you know, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And, you know, when you think about unforgiveness and all those things that we have shared, those are all, death is the absence of life. And all the negative parts of unforgiveness is the absence of life. It's the removal of life in that. And that is not God's heart for us. That is not. And so when we look at unforgiveness and saying, this is not just a toy to play around with. This is not whether I want fries or a salad. I know, I thought about that. The challenge here is basically, and I will tell you, unforgiveness, fighting, it's a war sometimes to fight that, to deal with that. I mean, it's an actual battle, and it can wear on you and in that. But, you know, and it is. It's a battle of who's in control. That's really what it is. You know, in Exodus chapter 20, it lists the Ten Commandments. The first one is, you shall have no other God before me. And you shall have no idol. And really, that is what unforgiveness is trying to become. It tries to become an idol to us. It tries to get our attention. It tries to take our emotions. It tries to take our thoughts and feelings. Really what it's doing is it's becoming that to us. Now again, just because I know that doesn't make it like, snap, I got that. It's a battle of saying, God, Christ, I need you to help me. We need Christ in there. But God has given us a formula to have victory in this. It's not like we just got to stand out there and try to figure it ourselves. You know, Apostle Paul, if you read in the book of Romans, in the New Testament, chapter 7, he talks about this. He goes, I'm struggling here. You know, the very things I want to do, I'm not doing. God, help me. And that's what these are really. He said, God, help me. Because I want to do these things. I want to do what's right. But I'm not doing it. I'm doing these things. It's wrong. And my thoughts are wrong. And God, help me. And this is what he said. He said, thanks be to God. As he just poured out his heart and was praying and asking God to help him, he says, thanks be to God. We had through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we have that victory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's only in Christ. So what is the formula that God gives us? I believe it's found right here in James chapter 4, starting in verse 7. The first part of this, submit therefore to God. He is our source. When we're struggling, and this is not just unforgiveness, this is any sin, anything we're dealing with, we know God doesn't want us to do this. The biggest thing, the biggest challenge again is, who's in control? That's really the challenge is. Are we allowing ourselves and the temptations and this, whatever it is, to be in control? And we say, God, I need to submit to you. And you know what? You need to maybe do that more than once. And you might need to do it 20 times in 30 seconds. Serious. You know, you might say, God, I need you, because the power of sin comes. And the devil, and realize if you don't believe there's a devil, then you've already lost some of the battle, because he's got to jump on you. You know, then he brings temptation. Now, I don't believe that the devil does everything. I believe we ourselves are fully capable of sinning without him, you know, of doing stuff without him and coming up with all kinds of stuff. But submitting to God, that is a big, you know, if you just start resisting the devil and resisting without first submitting to God, you're missing. It's gonna be very tough if you ever win. You cannot resist the devil like that. I mean, you have to submit to God. Submitting to God basically is saying, as we said before, God, I need you. I need you. It's admitting, I need you. I need you. And right then, that's when it's time to even start praising him and thanking him. God, I need you because you are powerful. You're wonderful. You love me so much. You have so many good things for me. What we're doing at that point, submitting to God. That's submitting to God. You're coming under worship. The word worship means submit or bow down. So you're basically, you could put another word, if you want to have victory, worship God. Start worshiping him because your attention starts coming over to him and you start seeing him and you submit your life to him. Then you resist the devil and the Bible says, and he will flee from you. That is a promise. But there's a second part of this. It's sort of like a sandwich that comes in here. Then he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So it's not just a matter of submitting to God until I get this devil off my back or get through this. You know, it's more like I'm going to submit to God, but even after I feel that freedom, it's so important that you connect back to God again, that we draw near to him and we thank him and we have victory and we ask him for wisdom to have that. You know, through the scriptures, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it says there's no temptation that has overtaken you that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with every temptation will provide a way to escape so that you will be able to endure it. There is a way, no matter what it is, if we're seeking him. And, you know, so part of that, of having victory and moving to forgiveness, is that submitting to God and then resisting the devil and drawing to him. Another step to forgiveness is realizing that you are using resentment to replicate old dramas and not do this and acknowledge that you cannot change the past. No matter how many times you run through something, you can't change that, but you can change your future. You know, Abraham, in the book of Romans chapter 4, it says that Abraham faced the fact that his body was good as dead, that he wasn't going to be able to fulfill the promise. He wasn't going to be able to do these things, but he said, but he was persuaded that God could. So there's things happen. But God, even though this happened in my past, I am persuaded that you can change my future. And my future doesn't have to depend on my past. My future, these negative things in my past do not have to be the seeds that germinate my future. These negative things in the past don't have to determine where I'm going, what I'm going to be, what God can use me for. These negative things, God can stop those and bring his seed of faith and his seed of destiny into our life. Another one, a step to walking in forgiveness, is realize you cannot control other people's lives. Even though, how many of you wanted to do that at one point in time? You like to go in and just, you know, let's control that. You just can't do it. You know, another big part of walking in forgiveness is you might say, okay, I'm going to forgive this person, but there's a place in there you have to forgive yourself. You can set everybody else free and still be walking in bondage on yourself and blaming yourself. And it's so important that you have to do the same formula and resist that, even in yourself, and not take that blame. Romans chapter 8 says, there is now, can you say now? No condemnation, say that, no condemnation through Christ Jesus our Lord. There is now no condemnation. Now, not in the future, not when you get everything all fixed up, not when you do everything right. He says there is now no condemnation through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, there's things in our life, and you know these, you're the only one know these, that are triggers. There are things that's going to trigger stuff in your life. It's wise to stay away from those. It's wise to learn to do that. Paul told Timothy, he said, flee from these things. Run from them. If you know there's things that trigger stuff, build that insulation in you. You know, the verse here, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Find those ways of peace. God, find those ways. He will show you those ways. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Again, it's a control. It's like, what? Where am I? What's going on here? To keep God and walk in that. If you want to walk in that, continual forgiveness. And last thing is, when we forgive, it's actually something we can practice. And remember, it's an active gift in ourselves. And sometimes it helps. You know, some of you, there might be issues where people, where you need to forgive somebody who isn't even alive anymore. You can write stuff out. Verbally say it. I mean, it's good to practice and do that. And you say, well, I do it once, it'll be all done. Well, it might be for you. But you know what? If you have to do it another time, it's okay. If you have to do it another time, it's okay. There's a verse in 1 Timothy. It says, train yourself to be godly. There's an exercise. You know, when we exercise, you know, when you first exercise, it might feel a little sore. You might get a little stiff because it's not something you're used to. But after you do it for a while, there's things called muscle memory. And it's once you do it, it is automatic. And I know Alan does wrestling. You know, these wrestlers that he refs wrestling. These wrestlers aren't going to have to sit there. They're not thinking or reading a book to say, okay, what move do I need to do now? You know, what move? I know I did that one time in high school. I looked at a wrestling book and thought, wow, that looks really cool. I'm going to try that next time. And I forget what it was, but I just pulled the guy right over top of me. And he pinned me. That didn't work. I mean, I must need to practice that a little bit because I didn't practice. I just thought I'd just try it right off the bat. But there's a point of training yourself to be godly. It's practice and doing it over and over again. If we could have our musicians come back up. Again, I would encourage you, if we go ahead and stand, I encourage you, give yourself a gift this season of forgiveness. Forgiving others and forgiving yourself. It's one of the greatest gifts we can give. I'm going to ask our personal ministry team if they would come up. These ones are available up here to pray with you about whatever you would like prayer for. If you've never received the forgiveness of Christ Jesus, then these ones can pray with you about that. If you feel like there's just things you're struggling with, you know, he put us in a body so we can pray for one another. Encourage. He doesn't want us to be alone. Next week on our finishing up, you know, we've talked about this, but then I shared before, Peter comes to Jesus and said, but Lord, he goes, how many times do I need to do this? The same person. You know, I mean, hey, I've forgiven this person 3 times in the last week. That should be enough for a lifetime. You know, if they haven't learned by now, I'm not forgiving them anymore. You know, that's their problem. Jesus said, no, he says 70 times 7. We should forgive them. How do we build a lifestyle with such resilience that we just walk around as a forgiving person? You know, it's one thing to do an act of forgiveness. It's another thing living a life of forgiveness. A life where we're just resilient. You know, the pans that stuff doesn't stick to. Building a life that unforgiveness doesn't stick to us. Wouldn't that be great? That doesn't happen. Well, we're going to talk about that next week and our time together. So encourage you to be one forgiving. So let's pray. We're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing a song here. Ryan's going to close our whole service in just a few minutes. Father, we do ask that you would help us to be a forgiving people. And even through this season, Lord, that we would give that gift to ourselves and, Lord, to others, even around us, God, as our life so affects so many people, Lord. We just ask that you would help us in Christ to be a forgiving person, God. And, Lord, show us how to draw near to you, how to submit to you, and how to find that freedom, God. Lord, we thank you that submitting to you is not slavery, but freedom. In you, God, is freedom. Help us to find that freedom, God. We thank you for it. Thank you for you are a good shepherd, and you love each one of us, Lord. You love us so much that you don't leave us alone. You don't let us wander off and be lost, God. But you keep finding us over and over again, drawing us back to you. And we thank you for that commitment to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.